Welcome to the Voice Retail Podcast. My name is Michael LeBlanc, and I am your host. I believe in the power of storytelling to bring the retail industry to life. Each week, I'll bring insights, perspectives, and experiences from some of the retail industry's most innovative and influential voices. This podcast is produced in conjunction with Retail Council of Canada. The one and only Ron Thurston is my extraordinary guest for this episode, recorded live in person together for the first time at the NRF Big Show in New York City. Ron is a retailer's retailer, a veteran store leader that turned his passion into a best-selling book, Retail Pride, which became an epic tour across America with an F-150 and an Airstream to meet retailers where they live and tell their stories. I sat down with Ron in the Market Dial podcasting studio to hear his story and learn his lessons from the Retail in America tour. Let's listen in now. Ron Thurston, welcome to the Voice of Retail podcast. Or should I say welcome back to the Voice welcome of Retail back. Podcast.
But first one in person.
You and I have never met in person
until this very moment.
I know. It feels familiar yet strange because I've known you for four years. But again, first time we've ever met. So thanks so much for taking time. We're here at the NRF show. You just rolled off the stage. Chitting and chatting. I want to get to this whole Rolling Across America tour. So interesting. But for those who may not have heard our first interviews, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I'd love to. So my name is Ron Thurston. I currently host Retail in America Tour and the Retail in America podcast after you, Michael. But maybe more importantly, longtime retailer, head of stores for brands like Intermix, Saint Laurent, Tory Burch, Bonobos, just some great, great brands that I've had the pleasure of leading. And I grew up in stores. So spend all of my life, sales, store management, multi-store management, and the joy of leading frontline teams really came to this point in my life where I said, I need to write a book about this that inspires people to really think differently about what it means to work in retail. So in October of 2020, that's when my book, Retail Pride, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career, came out, which turned into this tour, which turned into traveling across the country and speaking to retail teams. I know we'll speak more about that. But it's been a career of joy and people and brands and growth. And I've been incredibly lucky.
Now, how do you describe yourself when people ask? I know, for most of your career, I'm a retailer, I'm an operator. Yeah. When people say, on the elevator, hey, Ron, what do you do for a living? How do you describe yourself?
Yeah, so for a long time, I would say, long-time retailer, currently running X brand. Today, it's a little bit more of, the voice of the frontline field. And so that sounds very strange and vague. And then someone would say, well, what does that mean? Well, I travel across the country. I host a podcast. I live on the road. I go and meet frontline teams and hear what they have to say.
Would you describe yourself as an advocate for or a supporter of retail? I mean, if I say that's how I think of you, right? Yeah. Is both a prophet. I'm also a prophet, by the way. I saw all this coming and how important stores are going to be. So. You timed it. You couldn't have timed it better. You're an author. You're a podcaster. We all wear many hats, right?
We do. And that has evolved over time because it started with the book, but the book gave me the platform to then do other things.
Yeah.
And so this idea of, how do I get to the masses of frontline retail? Mm. And while I certainly don't claim to say that, they all have my book at home.
Sure.
What I can say is, between the podcast and the book and the tour, that the message is bigger than ever.
Yeah.
And that feels good. And so maybe to your question, advocate feels like a good word, but I don't propose myself as the leader.
Ambassador. These words come to mind when I think of you, right? Yeah. The role you take and the work you do. Now, let's talk about the NRF. You just rolled off the stage. What brought you... It's a funny question, what brought you here? It's a big retail show. It would be natural, like a black hole that you would be drawn to the NRF show. But specifically, it's probably not your first one. What do you come here to meet people, to learn? Talk about your experience here so far.
Sure. So this was my third, and my first one was as a head of stores, looking for new ideas, meeting some people. Didn't know a lot about what was happening here. Last year I was here Mostly listening to keynotes, but doing some book signings, like on a small scale, because this was not the size that it is today. This year, it's a whole different game for
me. It's a real ecosystem, right? I mean, you know, part of it happens here where we are on the floor. We're in the Marketal booth. The rest of it happens in and around this big ecosystem, right? Because I know you've been here, you've been other places, right?
It's true. And being able to then this year be invited on stage, you know, it's an evolution of this tour of saying, could I host something? Could I do panels? Could I speak? Definitely, there's seven different book signing events that are happening this week. So, like, I get to meet all the people who are maybe advocates in their own way, or they work in technology but have an appreciation for the front line, or they think about their industry in a way that maybe isn't as intentional or kind of connected as I am. So that there's this emotional bond that I have with stores that I think is very appealing to people that don't come from stores. And there's something about it.
And this morning you were on the stage. What were you talking? Just give us an example of what you were talking about or hosting this morning.
Yeah, so this morning's panel was really about being a responsible retailer. What does that mean? So in this year of understanding that there may be some budget constraints, you know, that we are trying to be conscious with a conscious about cost, but still with a conscience, meaning you can't just strip away all of the programs that you had. You can't just throw away all the work and say, well, this is a year about cutting costs. And what was really clear is that brands, to the best of their ability, have said, yes, this is a year we need to be fiscally responsible, but we're not going to give up on our goals. We're not going to then de-invest in stores. And so what I heard today from some of the panelists was some of the savings that we have in other categories, we're putting all that back in stores.
It is a real paradox, right? Because you, as an operator, you would know sometimes if you're looking to trim up and get productivity, that means you're going to cut hours, that means you're going to cut programming. And the irony, of course, is the more you do that, the experience starts to waver and get a little bit wobbly if you're not careful. And on the one hand, retailers tell me, my God, my goodness, I can't find anybody. Where did everybody go? We talk about that, and I'm like, well, what do you do to keep them? And, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road and the productivity stuff, right?
That's exactly right. And so between being on stage yesterday with some great brands like CVS and Lowe's and Nordstrom, the conversation is about reinvestment and frontline. Because what has happened is the conversation about being very difficult to hire is real. There are more jobs than people. And what that creates is the ability for the candidate to choose who to work for. And then the candidate says, well, if 25% of the stores in my local mall have a hiring sign, where do I want to work? Right. So we've shifted from brands choosing the candidate to the candidate choosing the brand. And I love that because what the idea of really embracing your power, like I'm a really good retail leader and I want to work for a brand that has doing things with a conscience, but still investing. So doing things that are right for the earth, doing things that are right for stores. And when the candidate can learn
and
more
by the way, give me full hours for my week and make sure that it's kind of fairly consistent, right? I mean,
all of that.
Probably the number one issue that I, when I talk to store associates, you know, I need my hours to be consistent. I don't want to have five different jobs. So anyway, we don't want to go down the rabbit hole of all that, but all these things.
And flexibility.
Right? And flexibility.
You know, there's no work from home option in the field. There never has been. And, but they deserve some level of flexibility to take care of their life, just like people that work in corporate worlds do. I think we're having really important conversations today. I've heard a lot this week, more about people, more about frontline than I did in the past. And that makes me feel really good. I don't take credit for that. What I do get to do is
advocate and
host these conversations and make sure that people are having them. That gives me a lot of my own kind of personal pride about the work and that and the leadership in this industry that is putting people first. There's no question about it.
So interesting because, you know, when I talk to retailers and I write a quarterly report for Retail Council Canada and over the COVID era, we had a big focus on supply chain, you know, the top thing to address. And that's kind of waned, fortunately, and kind of gone away. But now it's people. right? And people has always been on the front top five, top three. But now it's number one, right? Yeah. Finding people. So right place at the right time. Yeah. All right, let's take a step back. I want to hear all about, tell the people all about this tour. So you're running a retail store and then decide you're going to buy an F-150 and an Airstream and cross the country. Tell me about how that idea first popped into your head. Like, where did that inspiration come from?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So my husband and I were in here in New York City the entire pandemic. Both working full-time, didn't have a Hamptons home that we escaped to. We were working in New York City. And over the course of those couple of years, you know, there was this moment of, is this where we want to stay? Is this what we want to do?
Now, where are you from originally? Are you from the New York area?
No, I'm from California originally, but I've been here about a decade. I moved to New York for Bonobos.
Right.
And we just had this moment of, what would it look like if we traveled? What if we just took a year off? And the company I was working for was in the process of being sold to a private equity. I'm like, maybe this is our time.
Right.
He was doing something that he could wrap up, and I said, like, let's just take a year off. And then I started to tell people, this was summer of 2021, I started to tell people of, like, we're going to buy an Airstream. The day I left my job, we went to the Airstream dealership and placed an order. But it takes a year to get them.
Right.
You don't just walk into a dealership and buy an Airstream. And so we spent a year planning. And then I started telling people what we were doing. And then it was, well, could this be a book tour? Could this be partnerships with other brands? So brands like Ubik and KWI and Spotify came in and said, well, we'd actually love to help. We'd love to be involved in this and the work that you do.
And is that where the inspiration to tell people stories? Because you traveled, you set up a fun podcast studio. Yeah. But more than that, you were out, in my mind, as I watched your interview, and I loved your podcast, so congratulations on that. You were helping them tell their stories, and you were telling the stories of the people that matter in retail, right?
Exactly. And the goal of traveling was, I want to go to you. You know, I don't want to try to do this without really understanding what you do, the challenges that you may face outside of New York City.
Yeah.
Because you don't really understand it until you live there.
With all due respect to the NRF Big Show, interviewing someone from a retail store here is a very different experience, you know, than it would be sitting in their location or even in their own city, right? Because you traveled. Now, give us a quick, how many cities did you get to? Because you went to big and small, and you planned it really. I had a life. You planned it really well. You watched the weather, right? I do not want to be in cold weather cities in cold weather months, so let's get ourselves west.
If you're going to do it, why not do it well?
Why not do it well? You're the epitome of that, my friend.
Thank you.
Question for you. So of all the traveling you did and of all the people you met, what are the kind of the lessons you learned? Like, what surprised you on the road and I mean, some of your interviews were just very inspiring, I found, listening to the people share their lives. But what did you learn and what inspired you?
You know, I learned, I was, the message for me was reinforced about the pride that people have working in this industry. Mm. Because the news would tell you something different.
Yeah.
The news would say, no one wants to work in retail. The news, I saw a statistic on Saturday, you know, 50% of all frontline workers are looking to leave the industry. And, you know, for me, those are just stories that are meant to cause disruption. Mm. And what I was most surprised about is everywhere I went, every small town, big city, big brands that they work for are small family-owned or tech startups, all of these people, they love this industry. They're proud to work in this industry.
Mm.
And that wasn't a surprise, but it was almost like...
Well, reaffirmation,
makes,
was it?
It was reaffirmation. It makes me want to work harder.
Mm.
It makes me want to say, there's more of you out there than people know, and how can I share your story? And that, for me, is incredibly inspiring. And so, yet, when you listen, I've intentionally chosen people, not just that run big brands and have kind of their speech.
Mm-hmm.
I want to actually hear the real story, what's happening.
Yeah.
And the real story is, if you come from stores, almost always that there's someone in their life that has inspired them.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, they had a leader who saw something bright, who saw some skills and brought them forward. it's a very consistent pattern of I had a district manager. I had a store manager who saw something. And that is, again, reinforced the importance of leadership and investment and training and all of the things that we know make retail great. We can never, ever forget like the basics.
It's such a powerful lesson because it really communicates that you can have such a difference in people's lives for the rest of their lives at, you know, as a retail experience, at the beginning of their experience. Because you interviewed all from indies to major retailers, right? And in fact, I think on our last podcast with Steve on Remarkable Retail, you were sharing, I learned so much about Walmart because you know.
It's true.
You think of these large behemoths with literally hundreds, thousands and thousands of people, but it does get down to the individuals, right? And you found pride with, you know, associates for all companies. Right?
All of it. We took the Airstream to Phoenix for Thanksgiving because my family had never been together that spread out across the U.S. on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
I said, we're going to come here. There's family in Phoenix, and you're all going to meet us there. So first Thanksgiving ever for my, like, secondary family.
Wow.
And so I said, well, we're in Phoenix. Where's the nearest Walmart to the RV park?
Right.
That's where I'm going to spend Black Friday. And so I was in there on Black Friday watching, listening, speaking to the managers. They were so happy that day. They were, you could tell they had done it overnight the night before to prepare. The shelves were well stocked. They were smiling, wearing Santa hats, having fun. You know, can I help you find anything? It's not a high-touch service.
Sure,
but
sure.
You know who's running the store.
Yeah.
So I could never have had that experience any other way except being in the middle of the store, not as the manager, but as an observer.
Yeah.
And that is, you can't replace that. You can't replace being there in person.
Let's shift our conversation a bit to lessons learned in the context of giving some advice.
Okay.
So lots of retailers listening to the podcast, and I'm sure they'd love to ask you a million questions about whether it's a formula or you've already given it, shared some insight. And let's frame it in two starts and one stop.
Okay.
So two things the retail leaders should start doing and one thing that they should stop. Maybe the stop is something that just doesn't work anymore, or maybe you just see it as a habit. But two things from your tour that you've learned that they should start doing today.
Number one, get back into stores. If you are working from home or you've spent less time traveling the last couple of years, the best thing you can do is to go back into stores. And I don't just mean flagships here in New York City. I mean the smallest, lowest volume versions of your brand, the medium-sized versions. Those leaders in those stores have a lot to say. And I can tell you, having traveled across the country, that's not happening. They don't see the leaders of their company. They may see their district manager once in a while. They may see some sense of leadership, but
and they don't need to see him. You're not describing seeing them on a screen for a conference call.
Not a screen.
You need to walk through that door, shake the hands, meet the people.
Meet and listen. And you know,
two to one ratio, right? Two ears, one mouth. Just listen.
And I've been on the other side. I understand what it means to have an entourage of people. I've been the leader of the entourage, and I've been a participant, and used to call them the Rontourage.
And I like that, the Rontourage. Yeah,
but that's not the goal.
Right.
Today, 2023, it's not the Rontourage, it's the listening tour. And don't just say that, but be prepared. Start to listen, to be prepared to act for what they say. Because the growth in stores is continuing. You know, there's a lot of conversation about e-commerce, and you know, you and Steve speak about it often. You know, this is... Stores is where everything is happening right now.
Yeah.
So you've got to get back, listen, so start doing that. Start, I think similar to our conversation earlier, pay attention to the budget lines and more investment back. So that's the start would be, what additional training and development program should you implement this year? What additional ways can you ensure that you retain those people?
Are you happy with the state of technology for associates? I mean, there's lots of people here on the floor who offer lots of things from scheduling to whatever to communications. Are you And you think we're farther ahead now than we were 3 to 5 years ago, or there's still... Let me ask the question differently. If on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, 1 being kind of where we were 5 years ago, 10 being the point of arrival in your mind, where do you think we are? Are we... How far along that journey are we?
I think we're still at like a 4 in many cases.
Okay.
And I think there are great technology solutions like Ubik that do this really well, that have then started to expand into hospitality and retail. And
right.
The idea of streamlining communication. How do I provide daily training and like micro training? How do I prevent the workload? So things like, you know, email and Slack channels and text messages and all of the ways we communicate, how do you simplify that for stores? Because anyone who works in stores or leads stores know there's zero downtime.
Yeah.
There's zero time for me to check corporate communication from multiple platforms.
Yeah.
So how do you make that easy?
So the proliferation of technology has actually made it worse, not better. So many,
in some cases, that's true. Right.
Right?
Because then there's technology. If you've added BOPIS, there's new technology for that. If you've added chat functions or live stream, there's more apps. There's more everything that they have to do.
More skills, more apps, more communication. Right. When I was working with Rogers Communication, a big company in Canada, and a lot of folks in the call centers, right? So trying to handle, they were handing mobile phone packages. And they said, someone very, very cheekily said, you know, we figured it out that we send basically the equivalent of To Kill a Mockingbird every week to every call center rep and expect them to read it. And it's no surprise that no one, you get three different answers when you call people because it's so confusing, right?
That's exactly right.
So I don't think we're in your stops yet, but those are the clear kind of the starts. Anything
clear
that you would say, okay, all of you out there, you're visiting stores, you're communicating clearly, you're focusing and investing in the right places. But what maybe they should stop doing?
The focus on e-commerce and the kind of omni experience is really valid. But stop communicating that to stores as your primary goal for the company. And I think
the role of the store isn't the distribution center for the e-commerce. If I could reframe what you're...
That's true, too.
Right?
All of that. But I think what happens is the energy and the excitement go into all the fun and the tools and the new ideas around technology. And stores often sit and listen to all that conversation from senior leadership and say, well, but what about us? We need the tools. And the shiny object of digital is and metaverse and things like that is fun to speak about. But it's really not what stores want to hear.
So wait, are you telling me you didn't see on your tour customers walking out of stores saying, you don't have a metaverse here? I'm leaving this store. I'm going to go next door where I can shop your metaverse. You didn't hear that?
I didn't hear that.
Just to be clear.
Never once. Never once. The M word never came up.
last question. What's next for you? I mean, it's 2023. Yeah. You've been on this big tour. Does the tour continue? How do you now reshape yourself and then... What are you looking forward to and what are you going to do?
Yeah, so the tour continues. We have discovered that living in an RV park, wherever you want, whenever you want...
Suits you.
...is the best part of is the best part of life. If you can figure out how to navigate 180 square feet, life is good.
Listen, so, congratulations. You know, getting on with your husband for how many months in an RV traveling around, you guys got it going on. Congratulations.
We like each other pretty well.
Congratulations. That's a big achievement.
So, we had full intention for the remainder of 2023.
What's it going to take to get you to Canada? Maybe an invitation?
I haven't had my passport out for a while. Maybe it's just that. Maybe it's an invitation.
Maybe it's time you roll up and come see a few stores up in the Great White North.
Beautiful. You know, part of the journey is not just retail. It's also experiencing the outdoors. I think you and I spoke about that before.
Yeah. I think we spoke about it in a hailstorm, actually.
We did.
Pinging off.
You're
like,
exactly
what's going
right.
on out there? That's right.
But living outside, you have a different perspective of... Yeah. of what it means to be sustainable, what it means of what is our personal impact. You know, if you spend time in the park, spend time outside, choose places where the balance is as much about nature and kind of self-discovery as it is about discovering retail.
Yeah.
So for me, that's an equal part of the tour is personal growth and exploring. Canada is a beautiful country.
Canada is a beautiful country. Beautiful. America's a beautiful country, too. You've seen it. You know, time to go somewhere else. Anyway, listen, I sense a whole other book and journey in all this. A lot of lessons you've learned and shared. So thank you for that from all of us. And I really appreciate you taking the time on a busy show to sit down and chit and chat with the Voice of Retail. It's such a pleasure to meet you chit and chat, and it won't be the last time. And I said, maybe we'll convince you to come up to the Great White North.
Do it. We'll do some store visits together,
Fantastic. Some
tours, and go chat with some people.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
All right, Ron. Michael. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Voice of Retail. If you haven't already, be sure and follow on your favorite podcast platform so new episodes will land automatically each week. And check out my other retail industry media properties, the Remarkable Retail Podcast with Steve Dennis, the Food Professor Podcast with Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, and the Global E-Commerce Leaders Podcast. Last but not least, if you're into barbecue, check out my YouTube barbecue show, Last Request Barbecue, with new episodes each and every week. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, growth consultant, president of ME LeBlanc & Company, and Maven Media, and keynote speaker. If you're looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at meleblanc.co. Safe travels, everyone!